The medicine Buddha stanza and mantra, which is on the blue sheet in the for those who have the white binder. Bhagavan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to his medicine Buddha, lapis light. So let's chant the short medicine Buddha mantra 7 times. Te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha Te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha Te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha Te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha Te ata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante radha samugate soha. Now let's read the 4 measurables 3 times in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the cause of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37, and at the bottom of the page there are 2 mantras. So let's chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. So Chenrezig is the Buddha of great compassion. Green Tara is the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Is there a children's program today? Oh, okay, so the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Hi, I'm Linda with the Children's Program, and for this week and the next, I think, following 4 weeks after this, we're doing something a little different with the Children's Program. So the nursery option or preschool option is still available for a drop-off right over here, right next to where we drop off our shoes. Middle school class is also a drop-off class, but anyone in elementary school is welcome to join me today with their parents, and we'll be continuing the story of Shakyamuni Buddha over in the classroom area. So if you have an elementary school student and you're a parent, you're welcome to come with me. If you'd rather stay in the Gompa, that's fine too. Okay. Yeah, stay in the Gompa. Thanks, Donna. Stay in the Gompa with your children, if you prefer that.
Children always welcome.
Yeah. So basically for elementary age, children and parents will be together, whether it's here in the Gompa or over in the classroom.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, great. Yeah, okay. So, well, good morning, everybody. So there's, it is very interesting in attempting to prepare for this talk, which I thought was going to be simple and turned out not to be. My learning curve in technology is dismal. I don't have a techno gene in my body, to which Chris Baranski will attest. So in addition to many hours with Chris and then hours at the Apple Store because my computer decided that it was, it would function impermanently, the projector broke. died, and stuff. So this is a new one. So we are, and Chris did this having just had surgery on Thursday. So, and David helped. So they were, so that is the reason for the very sophisticated setup here this morning. If you hadn't had any idea, so being in charge of the mic, I get to have control of what I talk about. And so the first thing I'm going to do is an infomercial. Geshe Tsongpo, at the kind of request of Geshe-la, is going to take a group on pilgrimage to India in late October. The purpose of this trip is Geshe-la's firm faith and confidence, and so also Geshe Tsongpo's and many, many other teachers and masters, is that going to the Buddhist holy sites creates imprints that are unimaginable, even if you're shopping. Shopping in Bodh Gaya is better than shopping at Crabtree. It's just the way it is. So there will be on the website, there'll be a banner with a link to, I will be holding some information meetings about this, the cost, what's holy sites. The holy sites that I know we will be there is there are sites around Sarah J, places where people have practiced for years. Geshe-la says anywhere time you're with place that people have practiced, you know, it is a benefit to your mind. We will be in Bodh Gaya. The advantage to Bodh Gaya is the Bodhi stupa and where the Bodhi tree is there. So that's kind of cool. But it also is very easy to get to several pilgrimage sites, Nalanda, which is Nagarjuna and Shantideva, Rajgir, the place where the Heart Sutra was given, Asanga's Cave, and Geshe Tsongpo couldn't remember a couple other places he'd like to take people. And those will be day trips from Bodh Gaya with also plenty of time to circumambulate the stupa and do all the things that Geshe-la talks about. So if you're interested, this is not a money-making trip. There will be no money made. It is strictly to cover the necessary costs. So our attempt will be my attempt, because I'm the one that gets to cost it out, is to make this trip as affordable for people as possible. It's about the opportunity. So stay tuned and come if you're interested. even if you're not sure if, you know, this is something you can do at the time. In 2004, when I first met Rabina, no, second time I met Rabina Court, and I had an interview with her, and she said to me, oh, she said, well, aren't you, you're signed up to go on the pilgrimage in 2004, in October, and I said, no. She said, well, I'm sure you were. And she said, well, think about it. And she said, just start the process. And I said, okay. And everyone else had glitches. Patrick and Joanna had to drive to Washington, D.C. to get their visas or whatever. Everything for me came in the mail on time, other than getting sick as a dog in Nepal. It was smooth as can be. And she just looked at me and said, Lama Zopa says everything exists on the tip of the wish, and just do it. So don't assume you can't go. Okie dokie. That's done with the infomercial. So, so the topic today is, as everybody knows, I'm in trouble often in the Gompa for laughing too loudly. You know, it's like I notice I'm still laughing and everyone else is looking proper. Well, no. It's not. Just people are just, you know, whatever. So I'm not going to blame it on the Bible Belt. I am not going to blame anything on the Christians today. You know, excuse me, you know, Christ had a sense of humor too, so.
Okay. I didn't even know the Bible. I was just
thinking of the various. Yeah, yeah. So, but maybe true, maybe not. I don't know, but, so I'm going to, the topic is humor. And to even kind of start it off, there's a great quote from G.K. Chesterton, a Christian, who says, once, G.K. Chesterton once said that the test of any religion or spiritual path is if you can make good jokes about it. And you know, the whole point of working on your mind is not to take things too seriously. So humor is a tool for me to lighten that up. So we'll see how this goes. I didn't time it. It could end very quickly and everybody have a lot of time to chat. Or, you know, we'll go up to the 11:50 time. We'll see. So I'm going to start with kind of, I mean, I think humor is very, very personal. And so, you know, I grew up in a house where there was lots of insanity, but there was a great deal of humor. So about 2 years ago, I was in the hospital, and it was emergency colon surgery. And if anybody who's seen me eat would know that me 9 days without food is not a pretty picture. And so I said to somebody, oh, I must have been such a poop in another lifetime. You know, now this is ding-dong karma delivery, you know. My sister was a stand-up comic for several years, making a very, very poor living, even just though I thought she was pretty funny, and so did a lot of other people. And so, you know, one of her jokes that I always remember is she said, you know, everyone in Boston is so excited. They just made Right on Red legal. And she said, I don't know what people are so excited about. We've had Straight on Red and Left on Red for years. Unfortunately, that's rapidly becoming true in Raleigh. I'm very grateful to my stepdaughter, who wasn't attempting to be funny, but, you know, had this ability to kind of point out incongruity or paradoxes you know, were very humorous. I was getting married, and she was at the I was talking about the rehearsal dinner with her, and she was 9 at the time, and she looks at me and she says, why do we have to, people have to rehearse eating? And I thought, this is just so fabulous, you know, it's like kind of whatever. And then another time she says to me, and I find this humor, she says, my tongue is done, my stomach is done, but my tongue is not. You know? And I don't know if anybody's had this experience. So One of Geshla's favorite jokes, and people have heard it here multiple times, but I'm going to retell it because I think it's one of the reasons I'm doing humor is, as I have seen cartoons and heard jokes, it has often reminded me of some really important statement that Geshla has made, you know, either to me directly or to others, that is about my mind and about working on my mind. And so one of Geshla's jokes is that this gentleman died and he showed up at the pearly gates and St. Peter met him and said, "Welcome, you have a choice. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell." And he said, "Oh, really?" And Peter said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, could I get a tour?" And St. Peter said, "Of course." So he took him into heaven, and it's really, really, really quiet. You know, and people are doing prostrations. They're on their clouds, you know, so it's really soft, but they're doing their prostrations. They're listening to teachers. They're making mandala offerings. You know, they're this perfect place for practice with no interruptions and everything else. And the guy looks at it and says, "Yeah, I think I'd like to see hell." So he takes them down to hell, and they walk in the door, and, you know, they're on this lovely street. There's restaurants. There's music coming out. He said, "Well, what are the accommodations like?" Takes them to this room, just gorgeous, looks out over a golf course. The guy was a golfer, and he said, "You know, I hate to say it, St. Peter, but I think I choose hell, you know." And so the next day, Peter says, "Okay." So the next guy goes to hell, opens the door, and it's fire and brimstone, it's desert, it's sand, you know, everybody's, And he looks at St. Peter and says, "What happened? You know, yesterday," he said, "Oh, yeah, yesterday, that was a campaign for hell." So, you know, I think about that when I think how attached I am to things like music and good restaurants and going swimming and all of those things. So that's kind of my story. Did I bring it with me? No, I don't think I brought it with me. Let me see if I did. And I have to say, nope, I didn't. Because I was afraid of losing it. I dedicate this talk. I would like to, you're not supposed to dedicate at the end, but my aspiration for this talk is that I don't blow it and that it's a benefit to you in some way. But I dedicate this talk to Jim Barnes. Humor was his linchpin. I mean, it was his go-to point, and he had a way of seeing the humor in just about any situation, sometimes when you didn't want him to see it in your situation, but nonetheless, he could. And so when I was preparing for this talk, one of the things, you know, Jim's final acts of generosity were that he shared his possessions with family, friends, and other people that could use them. Jim and I share an attachment to fountain pens. And so one of the things that I received from Jim was a fountain pen. So when I was making notes, I used Jim's fountain pen. So I just, you know, honor the humor he shared with me and many of us. So how do jokes help us? You know, David Cypress, who's a cartoonist, was in Tricycle Press, Lion's Roar, the New Yorker, talks about, he said, well, first of all, our vocabulary, self and permanence, he said, these are just open doors for something funny. And then, but the other thing other people talked about, which I really appreciated, is that I haven't met a teacher yet that I wanted to hear again or respect that didn't have an extraordinary sense of humor and could see the absurd. And they talk about checking out a teacher, you know, for 12 years, making sure that, you know, there's someone that you'd be willing to follow and rely on. And I don't think it's mentioned anywhere, but if I couldn't have someone be my teacher if they didn't have a sense of humor, it would just not float for me. And I don't see it in the list of 10 qualities, but I'm sure somewhere it is in the qualities in terms of wisdom, let's say. Humor has helped me lighten up, not take. But the other thing it's often done is when I see things juxtaposed, it's helped me see possibilities, other possibilities than I had seen before. And it helps me connect with people. You know, there's people that have said to me that, you know, when I first saw you, you had the meanest, grumpiest, ugliest face I have ever seen. And they said, and then I heard you laugh. And I realized that maybe that wasn't true and stuff. So if I did not have this obnoxious laugh, there's people I probably wouldn't have connected with. So go figure. And I'm a constant when Lamala can't be here to be chant master and Chukila isn't, and Geshe-la looks at me. Anyone who's been here on a Friday night has heard Geshe-la say, "What tune shall Kandala treat us to tonight?" Because I can't, no matter. And one time I had been over at Lamala's house for 2 hours in the afternoon trying to learn the opening line to one tune, and 3 hours later I couldn't do it. So I appreciate the fact that I can be a constant source of amusement to Geshe-la. So let's see, and as I said, I do not have a techno gene in my body, so let's see if this is going to work. Okay. Okay. Come on. Why aren't you? Why is, oh, the mouse is tiny. Okay. Slideshow. Oops. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so let's go back. This is David Cypress, and I just love it. We're only here for a little time, and then somebody turns the page. So it's like that, you know, this is not going to last forever, although when I wasn't eating for 9 days, it did feel like it was going to last forever, but that's okay. Walks, follow directions. This was kind of one of the nicest, you know, forms of following directions. So, sit, stay. Oh, I didn't mean to do that one. That, the little thing will disappear in a minute. I'm not supposed to touch the mouse. The mouse doesn't like me to touch it when I'm doing this. So it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your mind is? And I thought about this. I thought about, you know, I thought about how often we use distraction. That's kind of the things that came to me when I see these. How often we use distraction, TV, surfing the web, to zone out. And at the same time, you know, Kendra, come on, disappear. Tendrin-Law, it'll be quite annoying if it doesn't. Tendrin-Law talks about the power of relinquishment, and this is one night when she introduced me to call the midwife. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there are times when doing things that relax you, whether it's gardening or something on TV or whatever, helps you come back to practice. So, but I did think a lot about the fact that distraction is one of it's my default go-to place. And so this cartoon helped me think about that. You know? So, you know, I'm always looking for the next book that will make me practice, you know. I haven't found it yet, but I keep buying them. And now it's even easier with the one-click button on Amazon, and it ends up in my Kindle account really fast. So, and again, this is the, you know, what I hope people can walk away with is just maybe some ideas about how to see some of the incongruities and paradoxes in our own life that might help us lighten up. Anybody had this experience? Can you see that it says last moment, this moment, next moment? Anybody had that experience with their mind? I love these little guys. Wait a minute, these aren't the right ones. Huh. Well, I guess the order of this just got changed. Sorry, guys. So we talk a lot about, okay, so Vajrayana is like, you know, that's the very advanced practice when you're a tantric practitioner. And again, I took a risk on this because, you know, there's people here that are very, very serious and dedicated Buddhists that might take offense at this. But this was so wonderful for me, you know, because Geshe-la kind of always comes back to just do it. And he'll say, you know, if you're trying to do a practice, it's, you know, envision medicine Buddha on the top of your head and, you know, streams. And he said, if you can't do that, just white, you know, light. And so beginning students of Vajrayana may have difficulty visualizing the Lama on the top of their head. And stuff, and I just like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's, again, you know, it gives me great support in being patient with my, both my efforts and my progress. This reminded me of Geshe-la saying that anytime you say mantras out loud or you play them for your pets, you know, that you're creating imprints. And so here we go. Happy guy. So cartoons are very helpful. Keeps Geshe-la present in my life. What can I say? Okay, so what do we learn from our animals? This cartoon, Nirvana or Bust, well, actually, Cookie or Bust might be a more appropriate description of one of my animals, but the animals I've had. But, you know, this so reminded me of Geshe-la saying, not too tight, not too loose. You know, that just do it. Just stay with it. And so that was... I don't have that on my, well, so. Aim and sustain your attention. Cultivate the one-pointed focus of a border collie. You know, I don't know if anybody's had kind of a border collie or dogs that are herding dogs, but they become so focused on getting everyone into the same room. I mean, it is unrelenting, you know, and go into great anxiety attacks if they can't do, not all of them, but so this is, aim and sustain your attention. Well, I don't, so, okay, so, woo, at last my mind is clear, spacious and allowing, I'm really alive in the moment. Or am I? Actually, I'm thinking about not thinking about being alive. Therefore, am I really being present or just pretending to be present when I sigh, inhale, right foot, exhale. Humans are so weird. Has anybody had this conversation? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So, I mean, if you get up off your cushion exhausted, it Well, unless you're doing very intense analytic meditation, you know what I mean? But if you get off your cushion exhausted from attempting to kind of concentrate and, you know, bring some light into your life, for me, it's, I haven't been on the cushion. I've been shopping. I've been making lists. I've been, you know. Why can't they go live outdoor? And underneath it says, wow, look at all those cute Dharma buddies. And that thing that won't go away, it says, finding compassion in alternatives. I mean, how many teachings have we had on what to do about ants and roaches? Or not to do. And people's angst over it. So I have to say, I was working on it this morning when a mosquito lit on me, and I didn't kill it, but I kind of went, which you're not, I'm not supposed to do. I'm a nun. You're not even supposed to do this, but I'm a naughty nun. It got me in two places on my legs, so whatever. But he was full, I hope, and left. Wake up, young man. You're ruining your pelt. So, again, this brought back to, you know, when Geshe-la talks about meditation, and he talks about, you know, you don't do it till it's painful. You know, when you're, you might at some point when you have this kind of joyous effort, but I'm sorry, guys, I'm not there. But he talks about short sessions, you know, and get off the pillow happy. You know, rejoice in what you did. So I like this little porcupine. I thought he was very helpful. Okay. Zombie convention or Vipassana retreat. Okay. How many people have been here when Geshe-la has talked about chicken meditations? Anybody? So, what? And so for people that are new or not familiar, one of Geshe-la's points is that what meditation is about is becoming familiar with your mind and getting to a state where you can skillfully think about things. It's not about zoning out. And so when I saw this, and there's a couple of friend of mine, Louise, that people know, has been to 2 10-day or 2 week Vipassana, and I think there's somebody else here that's been there. And she's recently been seriously ill, and I saw this, man, and I cut it out and sent it to her. But it reminded me of what Geshe-la said, you know, am I just sitting there zoning out, or am I doing it with not goal, but some attempt to work on my mind? Okay. The four immeasurables. May the bitch be free of danger. May the mongrel have mental happiness. May the mutt have physical happiness. May the flea bag have ease of well-being. Meta in progress. So, again, if I've offended anybody, just I'm really sorry, because I tried to not do the ones that I thought would really get people's knickers in a knot. But I get my robes in a knot all the time. I can't say knickers anymore. But I thought, you know, when I say this prayer, you know, I'm sitting on the cushion in the morning and nobody's annoyed me yet, I can say it. You know, when I'm at the grocery store in line and it isn't me that's having the problem with an item that was mismarked that's going to take 20 minutes to figure out, it's somebody else. Even though the words may be, may all beings have happiness and the cause of happiness, my mental attitude may be a little more like this. So, but I say it anyways, you know, and that's the one of the things I've learned here. I say it anyways. When did you first have the notion that poets were writing haiku about you? I just had to include it because, well, I was a clinical social worker for a lot of years. People didn't lay on the couch when I did therapy, but I just thought, I ask stupid questions like that. But So, okay. So, has anybody been here when Geshe has talked about emptiness in the Heart Sutra? You know, how anybody, you know, it's about kind of things don't exist from their own side. If you take all the parts of the body away, where's the self? So this is no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tail, as opposed to, again, I think I'm revealing way too much about what a wacky sense of humor I have. I love this one. I'm going to put this one up on my mirror. A world full of promise, another muddy hole. You know? And I'm like, I'll tell you, so in this, back to the infomercial about the trip to India, I arranged one in 2016 that had challenges for everybody. So Geshe, right before Geshe left, I had a meeting, Geshe Tsongpo and Geshe, he asked me to come over to the house. And this is really connected to this. And so Geshe's talked to me about stuff, and then Geshe Tsongpo says, well, are we planning another trip to India? And this is about what I looked like. Geshe started laughing. I mean, you know, the huge belly laugh, and he says, oh, Kandala froze. And I said, okay. And then I thought about it, and I thought, and that's kind of that part of the infomercial, and I thought, this isn't about whether I, you know, anybody that knows me knows I'm no travel agent. This isn't about whether or not I like doing this or not. It's that Geshe, who I hold in incredible high esteem, and want to support what he asks of me, believes that creating an opportunity for people to visit holy sites is very important. So when I was able to shift from, oh, not again, to this is a service and this is something I can do, it helped. So this needs to go up on my mirror, because there's going to be many, many times over the next month or so, if this trip goes, where I'm going to be going, whoops, okay, what happened? Okay, so wait a minute, let's go back. Wait a minute, back. Okay, so some questions are useful and some questions aren't. There are a lot of questions that the Buddha didn't answer. And, you know, people would ask, you know, like, will I reach enlightenment? I mean, he just didn't answer, and I can't lose. I knew that there were 10 questions that people asked all the time, and he never answered. And so I thought, this is one of those questions, which came first. And so it reminds me of I've stopped asking the question, am I making progress? You know, not that I don't think about it, but I try to back away from it, because what I need to ask is, what am I doing? That's the question I need to ask me, or not doing, as the case may be. So, how can I conquer my ego? Now, this, I think, is a good question. And actually, I find it interesting that the image of the guy looks a little like Nixon. And I just realized that looking at the nose. Now, I mean, that's not a slam at Nixon, but I don't think you can be a leader of the magnitude that President of the United States requires and not have an ego. I mean, well, Buddha probably could, but... And then, so, Mr. Smithers, when did you first discover that your sense of self was just an illusion? I just, yeah, well, worked for me. So, and I guess I think, you know, one of the things that when I see cartoons like this, I think, well, how much do I think about that? How much do I attempt to kind of dismantle my attachment to me, me, mine, now, whatever. So, not often, but I try sometimes. So, this is David Tsipras, who is a Buddhist, by the way, and famous cartoonist. Your friends, why you don't want to be a Buddhist? Your friends might think Buddhism doesn't work. This statement is my life. Well, yes, I have been sitting for 20 years, but you must imagine what I'd be like if I hadn't. I had a job years ago where I managed revenue for actually the aquatics division for the city of Raleigh. And during the summer, that meant I was trying to get high school kids and college kids to balance the accounts, like the receipts with the actual amount of money. This is before computers. And I found out at one point that my nickname was Dragon Lady.
No!
So, not that I still can't be Dragon Lady, but it is less often. And so when I think I haven't made progress, you know, I mean, when you go back to progress, I remember that nobody's called me that in a really long time. So the dogs have been barking in my head all night long. Maybe I didn't feed them enough, or maybe they are just blissfully unaware, or maybe, hold on, bark, bark. So this reminds me, you know, and this is, like, it's all about me, sorry. This reminds me of how many people have all those conversations in their head and then realize that nobody has spoken, they haven't spoken, and it's all going on. You know, the stories we write when something happens. Okay. So, psychedelic person. It must be possible to go beyond the here and now. Meditative person. It must be possible to stay in the here and now. Normal person. I'll have the nacho special. So, and then I try and stay in the here and now when I eat them. No, that's my goal. Stay in the here and now while I'm eating food I like. No. So, before we begin meditation instruction, I was wondering if any among you ever had taken mind-expanding drugs. This is for all the ex-hippies, the children of the 60s in here, you know, of which there are some, you know. And, you know. Well, after 4 hours at the Apple Store, my mind was expanded. I have to say that's what my head felt like. 3 hours at the Apple Store. What got you into Buddhism? LSD. Well, what got you into... And actually, if you talk to the original monks from that were part of the FPMT, you will find out that this wasn't so far off, okay? Well, what got you into LSD? I wanted to meet chicks. Chicks. Well, you know, little birds. You are a weirdo. We're all one. So, you know, I knew that there was a Buddhist center around here. I got here because my neighbor said, I hear there's this nun who's a really good teacher, and do you want to go find this place tonight? And I said, sure. It was Rabina Corton. She never came back, and I never left. You know, but there was no intention. I mean, not that I wasn't kind of was interested in a spiritual life, but there was kind of no intention, certainly no intention to become a nun. Actually, I need to ask Rabina next time I see her about something else about that. So, Master, where are we going? This is my opportunity to tell you there is nowhere to go. This is my opportunity to ask, when will we get there? And I think of the kind of, I mean, has anybody had interviews with a teacher here or talk to somebody that, you know, is important. And the kinds of questions that we ask, you know, but, and I also, I kind of, it's a reminder to me that one of the things about the Geshe's that are teaching us is, for me, is it took me a long time to realize that they're friendly, they care about me, and they certainly have friends, but their function here at the center is not to be my friend. It's to do everything in their power to help me work on my mind. And that means that I'm not going to always like what they have to say. Or not agree with what they have to say. I try, when I don't agree what they have to say, is say to myself, not yet. This is my great, this is the point, this is, what are you doing? Nothing. Master, please show me the way. I'm busy. Rubina talks about wanting interviews with, you know, Lama Yeshe or Lama Zopa, and them ignoring her, and her finally realizing that it was her job to work on the solution to these particular issues herself. But I love that one. I'm busy. And I guess what I wanted to say to people, the other thing, because I'm not a master, okay, I'm not considering that, it's really okay to tell people you're busy, even if you're doing nothing. Because doing nothing can be a very, very important thing. So what did you get? Nothing. Wow. I know. So that's David Sipras. You know, I love this man's, this man's mind is pretty astounding. Okay. So now we're going to move to relationships and Buddhism. Evening, folks, chanting or non-chanting. Like, these are just for fun, okay? But it's also, you know, I've kind of watched as, you know, people choose to be vegetarian, not vegetarian and stuff. And their need, their wants and needs, and I'm not blaming on people because I do the same thing, their wants and needs around what kind of restaurant they can eat in, because will it have this, will it have that, because, you know, some of those are wise choices, because, you know, going to Five Guys, you know, unless you just want French fries and peanuts, is probably not a great idea, but I do that, by the way, it's really good. But that, what I've discovered is, if I loosen up, there's almost no place I can't get what I need, you know, and I've tried to work on, Rubina talks about, you know, you order chocolate cake, they bring carrot cake, and you just look at it and you just say, oh, that'll be fine. You don't, not that you can't, but it's, so it's just kind of, it was one of the thoughts, but I like it, this one. I'm a smoker and a reform carnivore. You know, and stuff. My mantra or yours? Tall, dark, handsome Buddhist looking for myself. And this is a great one. This is for parents. The parents have left, but I don't, anybody come has, because I had did a couple of retreats and I went when I was still married, and so loving kindness, equanimity, serenity. What did you bring me? What did you bring me? Loving kindness, you know, as you, mommy comes home from her meta retreat. And, you know, it's like one of the things to, you know, whenever we do things that would people spend a day separate or even a couple of days, is to say, you know, reentry is not easy. Reentry is not easy. So, Okay. So this is, these are the ones about mind training. You know, there are some days when I'm walking around when I should be carrying a sign saying beware. But I attempt. So, so I thought, okay, let's just, so the three refuges, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the five precepts, no killing, no stealing, no lying, no inappropriate sexual behavior, no mind-altering substances. I'm glad they didn't include caffeine in that. They, you know.
I think it isn't.
What? 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 It is in there, but what?
We accept the bad karma, I think.
No, it's not in there.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, Chris. It's not in there. You know, because they wouldn't be serving super leaded milk tea at 5:30 in the morning at Sarah J. Yeah, no. So, now, Islam does. You know, caffeine's not, but so the truth. So, Four Noble Truths. No, it's not. Don't worry about it. Honest, it's not. It's honest. Okay, it's not. The lineage is there. It's not. Truth of suffering causes the origin of suffering. There's a solution and the truth of the path. Okay, so you can, and I think one of the things that I've begun thinking about the Four Noble Truths is, you know, there's the commitment, you know, the desire, you know, I want to get out of samsara so that it ends all suffering. If I can even just eliminate one suffering a day that I'm creating for myself by my view or story about it, you know, that there, you know, belief that there is a solution and then use the solution, that's a good day. You know, so I know there's the long view, but I'm only going to get to the long view by doing it like one little piece of suffering at a time. So that's my take on it. I had to look up the Eightfold Path. Right speech, right action, right livelihood, that's morality. Concentration, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. I don't know why concentration, right? And wisdom, right understanding, and right aspiration. There's a teacher, his name is Songtsar Khenson Rinpoche, who says that if you do absolutely nothing else, to at least once a day aspire to understand and realize emptiness, you'll get there. So this also needs to go up in my bathroom or, you know, above my, I'm always doing dishes, so it needs to go on the cabinet right above the sink. Wrong view, mind narrows ahead. Right speech only, no suffering zone. Okay, yeah. And I guess that's kind of no daydreaming. I'm not quite sure what that was. Because I asked Geshe-la one time, I said to him, I said, you know, I waste a lot of time when I'm driving around. I could be saying mantras. And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, I daydream. And he said, well, what's daydreaming? I said, well, it's just thinking about how you'd like things or whatever. He said, what do you daydream about? And I said, well, I never daydream small, Geshe-la. I always daydream having, I mean, immense buckets of money. I sound unimaginable and non-taxable. I was an accountant, you know. It's good to be non. I managed money. So, I mean, at least for the aquatics division, I counted money. So, and I said, but then I think about what I would do with it. You know, and it's like before he had a house. So I said, I would make sure that you had a really good place to live. I think the center may have still been, you know, I said, in the, I don't think it was, or I, you know, pay for this, and I would do this, and I would do that, and I would do that. And he kind of looked at me, and he said, that's wonderful. That's great merit. Keep doing it. So I still daydream. Not always about that, but often, you know. So, park your karma, curb your dogma. This is an important one for me here at the center, because, well, park your karma, you know, I don't know what that means, but curb your dogma. One of the things that I find happens, and it happened for me when I first came in and I was kind of exposed to the teachings, is, you know, I dove in 100%, and some of my approach to it was kind of black and white. And there's no black and white in the teachings. I mean, the morality is kind of, well, morality is relative too, but I mean, and that I think, again, mind narrows ahead, you know, imposing my point of view or my understanding on someone, you know, without a lot of respect and kindness, it's not a way of attracting people. That's kind of been my experience. And Geshe-la talks about it all the time. When he says, like, something came up and somebody had done something, and it was you know, really off base. And I think one of the nuns asked Geshe-la, should they say anything about it? And Geshe-la said, maybe if an opportunity comes up where you can say it with that you are fairly certain the person can hear it, and you can say it with kindness. And I thought, oh wow, that would be a pretty wonderful place for me to get. So that's kind of what it reminds me that, as a friend of mine once said, no one is ever offended by an unexpressed opinion. And so that's, okay. So again, mind training. So, you know, I try not to do that. So there we go. Okay, here we go. So, mental flights, arising, desire, boredom, doubt. I'm sure all of those maybe have arisen for everybody at some point in this talk, you know. Departings, agitation, anger, and joy. This is about reincarnation. I don't know if some people are maybe too young here to know who Jimmy Stewart was. But the man says you're the reincarnation of Jimmy Stewart and you belong in L.A. Okay. So, and thus is my last will and testament. I leave all my belongings to myself in the next life. And, you know, and it's really interesting, I've not people from the center, you know, but I've had the opportunity to, you know, I did a thing on Dharma Wheels a few months ago, and I've had an opportunity to work with some friends of mine who aren't Buddhist, but, you know, have very serious spiritual practitioners, and they're kind of doing their equivalent of, you know, what kind of circumstances they want around them and stuff like that. And stuff came up about wills, and we talked about that doing a will on one hand can relieve a lot of anxiety. You've kind of just taken care of it. But the other thing that came up was I began watching the amount of control that people wanted in doing a will. That they wanted to leave money to so-and-so, but they wanted to make sure they spent it right. You know? And so I began to think for myself, you know, do I really believe that, you know, this mind is going to go on, but this person that was Jeanette Palermo, then Jeanette White, than Nwang Kondo, ain't going to be around. I mean, the inference will be there. And I thought, probably a little shaky on that. So as your mother, I knew what was best for you in my last life, Herman, and I still know. Again, if people don't, you know, this is, take rebirth as a hypothesis, and if you take it as the hypothesis, maybe this is funny. So, incontrovertible evidence of reincarnation. It's me, Ted Layton from sales, big guy, mean as hell, chewed you out a few times, and I had a heart attack 3 years ago. Think about it. Do you really want to eat me? And by the way, how's your mother? There's, and I can't quote it, but there's, it's in one of the, is it the song, one of the songs of Milarepa or something, and it's this monk laughing, and he's like looking in a door where there's a mother cooking, a dog chewing a bone, and somebody bouncing, and a father bouncing a baby. And the monk says, you know, and the monk looks in, and he has clairvoyance, and he looks and he realizes that what the fish the woman is cooking was her mother. You know, I mean, I might not get the baby being bounced with great affection was a deadly enemy of the father. The dog was his cousin, and the bone was, you know, who knows. So I thought, okay. And it's one of the things that Geshe-la talks about. And it's one of the, you know, things that we talk about is that all sentient beings have been our mothers. And the person that was friend today may be enemy tomorrow. The person enemy today may be friend tomorrow. Like the person that said to me, you know, you look like the meanest, you know, da-da-da-da person in the world. We became really quite good colleagues, you know. I mean, happy colleagues and friendly. So, reincarnation, if you don't believe in it, better luck next time. Again, again, when I talk to people that aren't Buddhist or who are kind of just new to it, I always talk about, you know, I talk about most of these, what some people see as kind of dogma, this is the way it is, really are hypotheses from the Buddhist point of view. He found them to be true, and he's presenting them to you, and you can decide. You need to explore with your own experience, you know, if they fit for you. Okay, so we come to the end. So, well, do you have congratulations to those who have just attained enlightenment? You know, so, I think he's wearing chacos. See, I'm noticing all these things. I see these cartoons. I know, whatever. This is for Jill. Jill. Today's special, $2, painful yoga poses that you can eat. Pretzels. No, painful yoga postures you can eat. So, she's a yoga teacher, by the way. So that's for Jill. New trend in Buddhist hairstyles, the impermanent. People say to me, you know, they say, oh, that must be so wonderful to shave your head. There's, you know, you don't have to do any, you know, doesn't take any care. And I look at them and say, this takes more care than I ever spent on my hair. Some days I didn't comb it. You know, I just wouldn't put it up in a knot, you know. And so I, you know, laughed. Oh, monks, how do you feel about starting a men's group? Sorry, just struck me as humorous. Whatever. So I share it. Ecumenical candies, enlightenments, Carmelites, mitzvah divinity. And I think that the reason I liked it was that all spiritual traditions or religions all religions have a spiritual path within them. You know, as the Dalai Lama says, if you're a terrorist, you're not Buddhist. You know what I mean? If you're not, you know, if you're a terrorist, you're not religious. I mean, you know what I mean? That there's no, you can't be religious. And so, and this is for me, again, everything would be perfect if I just didn't have to breathe. Insights of a meditating swimmer. As everybody knows, I am on, in, or near the water, particularly in, is my great attachment, you know. This is one I didn't include, but I'm going to get brave and do it. And if anybody's offended me, I promise I'll edit this out and never use it again. And as you can see, anybody who's new, that we have statues here that are fairly complex, you know, and that there are deities in the tantric practice that, you know, might have more arms, might have more heads, might have skulls. And so one of the wrathful deities who kind of eats negativity is Makala. And so he has quite a few eyes. And so Makala at the eye doctor. And so I usually ask people to introduce themselves, but what I'm going to ask people to do now is to introduce yourselves and, if you're willing, share something funny about your life that helped you lighten up, or some experience that just helped you lighten up and gave you a different perspective. And we have a few minutes to do that. So hopefully some of these gave you some food for thought. What? What'd you say? What did you say, Christine? Christine, I didn't hear you.
I take it back.
Okay. I didn't hear you, so you don't even have to take it back.
If I say out loud, I regret afterwards. I'm still thinking about something I said earlier, and I'm like,
oh, don't worry about it. Oh, that was then. That was that moment. This moment now, clear. Oh, we're good. Okay. Is that? Well, I don't see anybody moving, so. Nobody can think of anything funny? What? No, you can't think of it. Okay. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Eating ice cream, you know, when we took that selfie, and it was like what nuns do after leading a retreat. That was funny. You know, I mean, you know, I thought it was funny. I mean, we had a ball. People we sent the picture to thought it was funny. You know, so.
We've all
Okay. Thank you, Chris. It worked great.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.